All right, we are back with It's Your Money and Your Life, and we've got a really great guest. Boy, Sanjay Gupta, wasn't he terrific, Richard?
He was great. I really love watching his stuff. I've watched two parts of his three-part series.
Well, I've watched all three, and I can't wait for part four, and I'm glad they're doing that because I was hoping CNN would re-air the earlier ones, but it sounds like they'll have an updated version. In studio, we have a pretty cool guest also who is a cancer survivor and a cannabis advocate, and his name is Joe Marino. Joe, welcome to our show.
Good evening.
Yeah, now you were saying Sanjay Gupta's work influenced you. How was that?
Oh, until about 4 years ago, I despised cannabis, despite the fact that I went through 6 months of chemo for late-stage cancer. Never touched it. And as a veteran, I knew that cannabis was controversial, but as a Marine, active duty military, it's strictly taboo.
Yeah.
But I started hearing about the benefits and took a very close look at it. And Sanjay Gupta is really the guy who caused the paradigm shift for
me. I think nationally he did it with his work because I obviously respected as a physician and, you know, all his work up until then. And he went through, he wasn't a fan like you, wasn't a fan either in 09. And then he wrote that impressive essay, you know, the Why I Changed My Mind.
Right.
But anyway, let's get into your life and background, and then we'll get to, obviously, your health issues and what you've been doing to stay healthy. But born and raised where, Joe?
I was born in New York City, spent my early years in Brooklyn, then moved out to Long Island, grew up on Long Island.
Dew's Donuts in Brooklyn. Best donuts on the country.
The neighborhood I grew up in back then is very different than it is today.
I'm sure it is.
Well, that goes for a lot of people in urban areas, so the neighborhoods have changed and morphed and such. But found your way to, where'd you go to high school, and then you found your way into the Naval Academy, so tell us.
Well, actually, out of high school, I was not very bright academically, so I didn't want to go to college, so I joined the Marines. I enlisted in the Marines when I was 18, and after about 3 years, they asked me if I wanted to go to college to become an officer, so I went to the Naval Academy, graduated, and went back into the Marine Corps as a second lieutenant.
Where were you stationed coming out of high school?
Out of high school, I was here at Camp Pendleton for 2 years in the mid-'80s, and then I ended up back here after the Naval Academy in the mid-'90s.
So did the Marines give you any grief? I mean, you're going from the Marines to the Naval Academy. Did you hear any?
There's a little confusion because we say go Navy even though we're Marines, but the Naval Academy back then, it was about 16 2/3% of the graduates would go Marine Corps. Now it's about 25% that end up in the Marine Corps.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize the Marines are a subsidiary of the Navy, for lack of a better term, right?
So to say that correctly,
there's
a Department of the Navy, and they have two separate independent services under them, the Navy and the Marine Corps.
Okay.
And under the Department of Navy.
All right. That's the way they want to say it. All right. Because they want equal billing. I get it.
Yes.
I get it. So you majored in computer science?
Yeah. That was my degree. When I was enlisted, I was a computer programmer.
At the Naval Academy, they have a computer science?
Yes. Computer science at the Naval Academy.
Well, with the cyber warfare today, I'll tell you, we do have a cyber war going on. Is that right? I mean, we hear.
Yes. As a matter of fact, the Navy and Marine Corps are leading that charge. It is literally a whole new domain of warfare. Back during World War II, the Commandant of the Marine Corps changed the Marines' hymn from on land and sea to the in the air, on land and sea, because air warfare was a new domain, and now space and cyber. To the point that the Naval Academy is building their next major building will be the Center for Cybersecurity, named after Admiral Grace Hopper, who was a pioneer in computer science.
Yeah, and the song's going to get too long if they include all the threats.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather have a bunch of people sitting at computer banks fighting wars with other nations, you know, from a computer. Although maybe
It depends who gets to push the button, Joe.
I shouldn't really say that because,
I wouldn't say that.
Honestly, you saw Stuxnet, right, Joe?
I'm familiar with Stuxnet, yes.
I mean, we have malware now that can do and shut down just about any system in any country, and of course, there's other countries that can do the same to us, and we're talking either financial or whether transportation. Can you imagine if the airline computers, you know, got a malware and just grounded they could do dangerous things, and financials, of course. So in any case, so after you graduated Naval Academy, you went back in the Marines, is that
correct? Went back in the Marine Corps as an officer.
And then I know you want what tell us what happened after you got out of the Marines, though, because I know that's an interesting part of your life.
Well, after my commitment was up to pay back for college, it was the dot-com boom, so I wanted to put my computer science degree and experience from my enlisted days to use, and I got very lucky here in San Diego. I got hired by Apple, at a career conference for service academy graduates, and I ended up working in their federal office in Reston, Virginia for a number of years as a consultant. And then I finished up my time at Apple while in Cupertino working at the Apple Online Store, which was very interesting. Because we would shut the store down, and then Steve Jobs would walk on stage, and he'd announce all these new products we didn't even know about as software engineers.
They were in 1990 or so. What year is this? Or
98 till 2007 is when I was at Apple.
Wow.
And then he would walk.
They shut this. So you were working in Cupertino. You were working at the headquarters.
Correct. Wow. Yes. Yes.
How many buildings in their campus did they have?
Well, Infinite Loop was six buildings, but by that time they were still spilling out. Now there's probably 30 or 40 buildings.
It's like a small village now, Joe.
Yes. And now they've got the spaceship campus, which is the size of the Pentagon, literally. It's the United States' most expensive building, $5
billion. It looks like the Pentagon. It's a big circular building.
Yeah, it's a big ring.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
So the store would shut down. What were you doing? That was your exact job there at Apple, though.
I was a software engineer.
Software engineer.
I was a software engineer. Worked on the back end. They call it the back end caching, pulling data out of the database and then giving it to people on the front end to display very rapidly under a huge load.
Was this to develop product or what were you developing? Any particular product?
No. Well, it was the store. So the products that Apple developed, we were selling on the store.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. So just going online and buying product online from Apple.
Yes.
So Steve Jobs would shut down, and you said he would like sit with you guys at lunch and tell.
Well, so if you went to the Cafe Max, which is the cafeteria on the campus, every day for 2 weeks, you probably would have seen him once or twice, and he would come in maybe with a software engineer or maybe a product manager, and I've sat next to him. He wouldn't know who I was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've spoken to him, but he wouldn't know. I remember who I was, and he was so quiet. It was so interesting to see him in this role, and he would simply ask the person he was sitting with, if it was an engineer, for example, how could we integrate this app and that app? And then he would just sit back, and he would just take in the information. He could see the gears turning as far as how he could make products better.
Huh. Wow, that was so. How many employees at that time were there?
When I left Apple, they had just hit about 20,000, and now they're over 110,000.
I can't believe it.
And I think about half of that's probably retail. We have the company has such a big retail presence.
And does that count everybody in China who actually puts the product together?
No, that does. They are actually part of Foxconn, which is a separate company.
Mm-hmm. Okay, gotcha. The outsourcing deal. Gotcha. Yes. Anyway, interesting website, Joe. It's bio.joemarino. It's Moreno, folks.com. And if you want to know more about him. But so interacting with Steve Jobs, and then how long were you there? And then what did you do when you left?
So I was there, again, from 98 till 2007. What ties in with this show today, I was there less than a year, and I got diagnosed with cancer, late stage widespread cancer, stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma. At the time, a coworker asked me if I was going to use cannabis, and I said no way, right? That's not something I would use. I just did chemo, and it wasn't until I saw Sanjay Gupta, his Weeds program, where he said no adult has ever died from an overdose of cannabis, which I just found shocking.
Yeah.
So I researched it myself. WebMD, Centers for Disease Control, National Institutes of Health, and they track even illegal drugs because they can become an
epidemic. Wasn't Schedule One, they could even be doing more research with it, and I'm sure there's more research going on in other countries that we don't know about or should know more about, so that's the challenge there.
That's what I want to see is the research.
But anyway, we have to take our little break, though. We're going to come back with Joe Marino, and of course we had Sanjay Gupta on in the first half, thanks to him, but we'll be back right after these words. Hang on. All right, we are back with the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life, and this is the time where Richard likes to thank our sponsors.
Big thank you to all of our sponsors. Everybody, listen up. The roster's changed a little bit. Going to change a little bit more in the next month or so, but we love CPAs. Got two groups of them. Of course, Jason Kruger's great CFO service company, Signature Analytics. In fact, Jason, I think, is next week's guest. Looking forward to that here at the start of the year. Also, more traditional CPAs. Polito Epic CPAs up in San Marcos. Financial statements, tax returns, things of that nature. Also, our great friend Joel Grushkin, Cost Segregation Initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. And, of course, also Paul Hines. Paul is the CEO of Hearthstone Private Wealth Management, a great wealth advisory company. Fiduciary all the time, all fiduciary all the time. And Paul, of course, is also the catalyst for SeniorSafeAndSound.org, helping to prevent financial abuse of the elderly. Also, VFO Hub, Virtual Family Office Hub, and the Lombardi Group, helping wealth advisors make heroes out of CPAs to the CPA's very best clients, but also helping wealthy families live more coherent lives. Also, our great friend Michelle St. Clair with Elite Lifestyle Management, a great concierge service here in San Diego, helping those of us who have no time, from simple things like travel arrangements to more complicated things, just use your imagination, whatever that might be. Elite Lifestyle Management can take care of that for you. And speaking of tax season, we also have, new to the roster, Happy Tax. Check out happytax.com, a great paperless app-based tax preparation service with exceedingly reasonable prices. happytax.com. I'm going to be adding a couple more sponsors here in about another month, so stay tuned for that on shows that follow this one. But I know a lot of our listeners, Joe, they skip dinner because they love us so much. It's not because they were smoking weed that they're hungry, because they're listening to our show. So we can help them, too.
They can have a brownie, too, if they like.
Whatever
anyway.
Whatever they want to do. Fill us in on the food, Joe.
Well, we have some great guests in the Very Good Food Foundation, guest sponsors, the Very Good Food Foundation, headed up by Michelle Ciccarelli-Lirac, putting on great foodie programs throughout the year and some great broadcasting as well. And also there's Lestat's Coffee Houses, the three locations, University Heights, Normal Heights, and a new one on University Avenue in Hillcrest, all open 24/7, 365, with great food, great coffee, great people watching. And I know, Richard, you've been working with many sponsors for many years with great success.
Yeah,
right?
Going on three decades in some cases.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if you get over to our website, iymoney.com, there is a sponsor tab there with a drop-down menu, and you can learn about all of our sponsors, and all their contact information is right there. And of course, there's a media kit in there as well. You can learn about the show if you want to become a sponsor yourself. Now back to our guest, Joe Marino, who's buttressing off of Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who we had in the first segment, talking about his life. So you had which Hodgkin's lymphoma, was it?
Right. There's about a dozen different types of lymphomas. Most are referred to as non-Hodgkin's, and Hodgkin's, fortunately, is very curable.
Gotcha.
How did you find your way down to San Diego?
Oh, Camp Pendleton, Marine Corps.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you came, left, came, decided.
Right.
Decided
I'm always trying to get back here. Yeah, if something pulls me away, I want to come back.
That happens a lot. So, Joe, what were the first symptoms you had? Because you're about our third or fourth guest who's had lymphoma that we've had.
So there's really no known risk factors for it other than being like a male between 15 and
35. What were your symptoms, though?
I went for a run. And it was a 3-mile run, and I felt like I'd done a marathon. Mm. And I'd just been on a business trip for Apple the week before, and I thought maybe I was just tired, laying on the
fatigue. Huh?
Yeah. Yes, it was. It was definitely fatigue.
And how old were you then?
I was 31.
So 31. Very.
And I got in the shower, and I noticed a lump in my groin, and I thought maybe it was a hernia. I thought I was in perfect health. Went to the doctor the next day. My first interaction with civilian medicine, and I saw a nurse practitioner, and she looked at me. She started feeling my lymph nodes, and her eyes looked like saucers.
Mm.
So they sent me to a surgeon to biopsy a lymph node, and didn't even need to send it out. They just pulled it out, and instead of being bright pink, it was like a dark brown.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a matter of what type of lymphoma it was.
Wow.
So 6 months of chemo, and I was cured, literally cured.
Wow. No radiation, no anything else?
No, I didn't need radiation, which is really
good. Did you have any other meds at all? Or?
No. I would take some meds. I'd go for chemo every other Friday, and then on the weekends I take anti-nausea drugs that worked beautifully, so well that I gained a pound a week for 6 months, because I was eating like Whoppers and ice cream, thinking I was going to lose
that
weight.
Math in my head, that's
24 pounds.
Yeah. Yes. It's the most I've ever weighed in my life when I was done with that. And when I was done, I would get about every 3 months for about 3 years, I would get they called studies, nuclear medicine, CAT scan, MRI. No hint of it coming back. Then about every 6 months for the next 2 years, and after 5 years, it's probably not going to come back.
And was cancer prevalent in your family or no?
Nope. I was the first one in my immediate family to get any type of cancer.
Wow. So what compelled you to start researching cannabis and how it might help you?
Oh, so I didn't use it while I was going through. I wish it was available.
Because if you put weight on and you go to cannabis to lose weight, right. I don't know if that's going to work. But
yes. You said you were predisposed against it. Have you ever even tried it, like as a teenager?
No. Oh, no. No. Yeah, I was touched it.
This guy's squeaky clean.
Yes.
Military.
Yes, exactly. Never, never, never.
Well, Richard, I know tons of military guys who use it.
Well, yeah, in high school, right? It's natural to experiment. Yeah. Right. And the thing about cannabis in particular is, since it's not that risky, we look at the harm something will do. What's the risk if we do it? Now, I wouldn't recommend, if someone's coming to cannabis, I wouldn't recommend smoking cannabis, anyone who's smoking cigarettes, but there's other ways. Vaping is a perfect
vaping,
way
there's
to
edibles.
Do.
But why did you think you needed cannabis in your situation for pain, for insomnia?
Oh, it would have been good, The recovery after the chemo, it's pretty tough. And I had it good, and it was still tough.
You had pain?
I would get what they call complicated migraines. Migraines with complications, vision. They're like stroke-like symptoms, really, except you don't have any paralysis after the migraine passes.
Wow.
So. And how long would the migraines last?
They'd last a few hours.
Whoa.
They were bad. My peripheral vision would go. My fingers would get numb. Mm-hmm. I'd get confused, which is scary. I mean, that's like stroke symptoms.
So what form of cannabis did you use? The tincture or the tonic?
No, I didn't use any while I was going through chemo.
Okay.
Right? It wasn't until 15 years later, after seeing Sanjay Gupta's report, that it's not addictive. It hasn't killed anyone.
So were you just doing it for recreational use, basically, or was it for other symptoms?
The symptoms were, I would occasionally get migraines with complications.
So they were coming back 15 years later?
You know what? I didn't know what they were. Okay. I just thought it was a bad migraine.
Gotcha.
Until I went to a neurologist thinking it was a stroke or something like that. And he said, no, this is just a complicated migraine.
So when you got a migraine, you started vaping or what? Tell us how you
actually. Yes. Especially CBD, right? The CBD has the anti-inflammation benefits.
So they have the cartridges with a higher CBD content in them?
Yes. Okay. But one thing is, it does need a little THC to help activate. Like Sanjay Gupta said, the entourage effect is key.
So how does consumer determine, how does they find that product that you're talking about? I guess there's a lot of research we have to do, right?
Exactly.
There's all different variations of formulas in there, I guess, right?
Right. So the big thing with CBD and THC is to find a ratio. Is it 1-to-1, 3-to-1, whether it's 3-to-1 CBD to THC or THC to CBD, you find what works for those symptoms.
I mean, did you consult with your physician about this decision or choice?
I consulted with not my personal physician, but a physician who had expertise in cannabis.
Gotcha.
There are a growing number of doctors who, refer or think it might be a good idea to try this for certain conditions, but technically they're not supposed to prescribe it, Richard.
No, I know you can't prescribe it, but you can certainly talk to your doctor about anything.
Right, but I'm just saying, and there probably are doctors out there, maybe if you know them socially or off the record or whatever, there are some nurse practitioners and some nurses and some other health professionals, and we can get them on later in the year, Richard, who are actually more using cannabis.
Find those doctors, it's a very good app. Weed Maps, and it sounds like a sketchy app, but it's a very good app. You can find medical doctors in your area who can advise
you. Doctors, and product, I'll bet.
Exactly.
It's all on there,
right.
Cool. Yeah, weedmaps.com. I haven't looked at that much, but I guess I will. So we're coming up on our break right now. We're going to come back with Joe Marino talking more about his life and adventure with cannabis and his piloting and everything else. Hang on. All right, we're back in the home stretch with Joe Marino. He graduated Naval Academy, went to the Marines, and went to work for Apple.
So, Joe, how does it feel following Sanjay Gupta?
It's humbling. I mean, it's humbling to follow someone who literally changed my perception of cannabis.
And this is crazy. This was not set. I had no idea he even knew who Sanjay Gupta was.
No, we didn't. We don't plan this stuff.
It just worked
out.
That's
the beauty
of
the show.
But I do
the total chaos of it.
Yeah, but I do think Dr. Gupta's work influenced a lot of people, including myself. As I was saying, you know, I used the tincture itself.
Oh, for the eczema. Yes.
Yeah, and I use a little edible mints. You know, with a you have to have a little CBD with THC and all that, and it. You know, there is a relaxation factor there also that that I think is.
I noticed you haven't been as hyper.
Yeah. Well, to help people sleep, insomnia. There's there's indica and sativa. There's different strains.
Yeah, the way people remember it, indica is in the couch. That'll really relax
yeah.
you. Sativa is what sometimes makes people paranoid.
Yeah. So if you can buy a little gummy for like $12 or $16, I bought one that has CBD in it. But you take just a little sliver and an hour later, you're just very. But I don't think I'm not compelled. I can I can throw it all away tomorrow. I'm not like addicted to it. So
It's a good question. What is addiction? And Sanjay Gupta talked about it, but it's repeated behavior in the face of mounting consequences.
Right.
And
or
we don't see that with cannabis.
Or it's doing something that you don't want to do, but your mind says no, but your receptors and everything else compels you. Doing something against your own will, I guess, would be
it's like me eating pizza.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to eat this, but I'm Italian. I can't help it.
And I went back to bread. I'm having multigrain bread. I gave a bread for a few months.
You had to go back?
I love white carbs.
But I don't eat white bread. I have the multigrain, which
I don't
I actually found a multigrain, which is non-GMO, which is terrific. I think it's called just a shameless plug there, but I think it's called David's. But
Dave's. I buy that. I get the raisin bread. It's really good.
Yeah, it's
really good.
Non-GMO
on there.
I've
got some in the fridge. Yeah, non-GMO.
So that's my problem I have with the wheat. But anyway.
Called Raisin the Roof. I love that name. Raisin bread. Raisin the Roof.
So Joe, you found yourself taking edibles for your migraines, or
the CBD vaping.
Vaping
the CBD.
Okay,
would help the edibles.
Okay,
would help the migraines.
Yeah, and
how about professional life post Apple? What have you been doing the last few years?
Oh, after I left Apple, I worked on a couple startups.
Okay,
and most recently, I was a CTO of a company called It's Borrowed. But that gig ended when we haven't closed more funding.
Okay.
So I'll see what's next.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just do some writing in between.
Yeah.
I notice you do a lot of writing.
Yeah, I enjoy writing. It's fun.
You've done a lot of business and technical
writing. Yeah, business and marketing and technical stuff.
Gotcha. And, of course, I do think you've got your eye open regarding the cannabis industry in this town and elsewhere. So just seeing what other opportunities are out there as these dispensaries proliferate.
Right. About 3 years ago, when I heard Sanjay Gupta, I was looking for business opportunities in cannabis because it seemed that's where the momentum was going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I started the San Diego Cannabis Business Group. And from there, that's how I actually met you, I guess.
Yeah, we met in a mixer. And then, we're going to have a show on in a few weeks with a company that just makes mostly CBD product and hemp oil and things like that. And these are all mostly non-psychoactive products, but they help with a lot of people with a lot of conditions. Have you seen the entire laundry list of, it isn't just epilepsy. I mean, it's PTSD. I heard of one product which has melatonin, and it's in a chocolate bar.
Mm-hmm.
Melatonin and CBD and some THC in it. And apparently the veterans coming back with PTSD have been getting great results, are able to finally sleep through the night.
That memory extinction factor of cannabis, what makes you forget, you think it's a negative, but if you have PTSD, you're not remembering the trauma. You're reliving it literally when you go to bed. And they'll fall asleep, but they'll wake up in the middle of the night because they'll relive this experience.
Flashbacks and things, yeah.
So the memory extension effect of cannabis will help them get through the night, and they'll wake up very restful.
Memory extension effect.
Extinction.
Extinction.
Extinction. Oh, memory extension.
Okay.
It makes you forget.
Gotcha. Anyway, fascinating. Now, you're a pilot. Where did you learn how to pilot planes? Because I know you fly your own plane.
Yeah, about in 2010, I discovered that my Montgomery GI Bill would help with some portions of learning how to fly. Mm. So I said, I always wanted to learn how to fly. I didn't pursue it out of high school, because back then you needed perfect 20/20 vision, mm-hmm. and surgery was not an option. Mm-hmm. So to be a private pilot, it just has to be correctable to mm-hmm. 20/40. Mm-hmm. So I started taking some lessons.
Did you do LASIK or anything, or does it?
I did do LASIK mm-hmm. in 2002, and it's mm-hmm. worked out great. Mm-hmm. So I learned how to fly up in Carlsbad at the airport there. And
what kind of planes do you like flying?
So I have a Cessna 182 okay. Skylane right here mm-hmm. at Montgomery. Okay. I've yeah. probably flown right over this as I've
right
taken off.
Kearney Mesa. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's great. It's great. It's great for getting
we
to Catalina.
We got a big parking lot here. You could have flown them.
Yeah. Oh, I hope I'll never need to use it.
So check this out, Richard. He flies over to Catalina. It only takes him like 45 minutes.
I think it was like 48 minutes to get
gate,
there.
Gate to gate, so, we're talking.
So sometimes yep. your business, I fly from Carlsbad to Palm Springs. It takes like 17 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Oh. It's close. Palm
Springs
is close.
I mean, Palm Springs is well, so that, close unless you have to drive it.
Is that in a jet or in a...
It's in a jet.
Yeah,
that,
you're jet. Flying in a jet. It would probably take me 40 minutes.
But the
yeah.
point is that people think it's a long drive, which it is, but it's a short flight because you can't drive in a straight line.
Yes.
But so how many hours of training before you finally get to fly the plane yourself?
Wow. So people don't realize this. When you go for your private pilot's license, you need a minimum of 40 hours, according to the FAA. Very few people get it that quickly. I think I probably had twice that, 80 hours. But about a third of the way through, you solo. And solo means you go fly the airplane by yourself for the first time with no one else in there, and you have to do 3 consecutive takeoffs and landings.
Wow. After how many hours? After 30?
Oh, no, probably less than that. I probably had closer to 20, 25. I forget. I would have to look.
With no one in the plane?
Yes.
Whoa.
I've got a great flying lesson story, but do we have a minute, Justin?
Yeah, we do. Go for
it. Okay, so I was coaching Little League, and one of my 12-year-olds said, I'm going to be late to the playoff game, coach. I'm like, Ramsey, how can you be late to the game? You haven't missed a game, haven't been late all year. I go, why are you going to be late to our playoff game? He goes, well, I'm doing my first landing. And I didn't know what he meant. I'm like, you're doing your first what? He goes, I'm doing my first landing with my instructor. I'm taking flying lessons. He was 12, but he was taking flying lessons at 12.
Yeah, there's no minimum age right. to take lessons.
Right.
There are some real young kids who know tons about aviation.
He's 12 years old taking flying lessons. I told him if he made the Little League World Series, he could fly the plane to whatever it is, Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
I just saw a little 6-year-old kid. I think it was Ethiopian Airlines. They brought a little 6-year-old kid into the cockpit on a jet.
Oh, and he knew everything about it.
Did you see that?
I think I saw that. I think that was viral. Yeah.
That's six. I think he was like 6, right? Unbelievable.
Coach, I'm doing my first landing.
But anyway, I just think, Joe, we have so much more to find out and discover about cannabis in terms of those other endocannabinoids. And, you know, CBD is just one of them. Richard, I don't know if you've seen the list, but the treatment areas with involving cannabis, and I'm not talking the psychoactives. I'm not in, you know, I'm not advocating taking this just for, you know, the getting high for lack of a better term, but the actual physical benefits. And the weird thing is, we could pass a joint around in this room right now, Justin, and we could all take the same dose, and some of us may not feel anything, mm-hmm. and others may feel really high, and it's really weird. But I saw one documentary about the researcher in Israel. He did this as part of a study, mm-hmm. and so there must be some in our system. We must already have some level of these chemicals and biochemicals.
It's that endocannabinoid system.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was talking about
and
that.
It's unfortunate that it's Schedule 1 because apparently it's very difficult to do research on a drug when it's Schedule 1 because it's right. in the same category.
Any thoughts on Jeff Sessions in the news about the memo?
Wow. So the laws haven't changed.
Right.
Right. It's just the federal government may enforce
the law.
Yes. Right. They
may enforce their law. But
their law.
Yeah. Correct. And
I think it's going to blow up on them because there's just too much public pressure.
And even it may push Congress to
legalize.
To deschedule. That's what people want, to deschedule it. Yeah. Because, I mean, if you think about alcohol would fit the Schedule 1 definition.
Yeah.
And then if you also think about it, right, and this was a paradigm shift for me again. Almost every adult in America takes some sort of psychoactive recreational drug on a daily basis to help them get by.
Caffeine,
world's most popular drug, alcohol, right? Beer, wine. Imagine having a party with no psychoactive recreational drugs. No caffeine, no tea, no coffee, no Coca-Cola, no beer, no wine, etc. That would be...
Wow.
So I guess we're boring as people without that.
Sounds like a cabinet meeting.
I went to one of those at the Mormon church once. Yeah. I can't say that.
Sounds like a cabinet
meeting. What are you talking about? Are you not familiar with the Catholic Church? They have alcohol.
Yeah, anyway. we've got to adjourn this cabinet meeting right here, though. But Joe Marino, thanks so much for being
Thank
our guest.
You very
Dr.
Much
Sanjay Gupta was terrific. Richard Misa, great seeing you.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Absolutely. Justin Hart, our board operator, thanks for making sound terrific. Thanks to Dave Sniff and Craig Blanke here at KFMB. All these podcasts are commercial free on iwomoney.com. We'll see you next week. Bye bye now.